Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. If you go down in that chapter, later on in that chapter to verse 41, the end of verse 41, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And the end of verse 42, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, this morning at the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, someone gave out hymn 150, and I thought of these three scriptures that this morning when we were remembering the Lord Jesus and his death, that actually right in our midst there's someone greater than any place in creation, someone greater than any prophet that has ever come, and someone greater than any king that has ever lived. So you have that in Matthew 12. So I want to ask myself and all of us here this afternoon, what do we think about when we're at the Lord's table? Do we think about that person and how great he is, and we sing those hymns? If you're like me, I have a little struggle sometimes remembering the Lord because my mind tends to wander just like a little child's. I think there's a hymn that brings that out in the appendix. And I felt that too, and I thought maybe for a few minutes I'd mention these scriptures and some other scriptures that have been an encouragement to me to focus my mind on the things that are important at the Lord's table. What do we think about? Lord, show me, what can I dwell on for a half hour, an hour, or is this morning an hour and a half that would return some of that love that you've given to me? So let's look at some scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11 and see if there isn't something there that will help us to focus our mind, our hearts, our affections when we're at the Lord's table partaking of the Lord's Supper. What can I think about? In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. And if I remember right, our brother read this scripture this morning, and I think I remember that he emphasized that word betrayed. And I thought about that. The Lord Jesus, the very night that he was, before he was going to the cross, he was betrayed by one of his best friends, Judas. And maybe some of us here in this room have felt betrayed in our lives. Maybe a friend, maybe an acquaintance, maybe even another brother or sister in the Lord. You've had that experience where someone you thought was a close and good friend betrayed you. The Lord Jesus went through that too. The very night that he was betrayed is when he instituted this supper of love. So I can think about that for a while. It was not an enemy that betrayed me. It was a man, my equal, my own friend. We walked together under the house of God. If it was an enemy, I could have borne it. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my friend, my acquaintance. It was Judas that betrayed the Lord Jesus. So we can dwell on that for a few minutes, think what the Lord must have thought in his own heart as he gave the choice sop to Judas, and that man got up and went out, and it was night. Oh, I'm sure it hurt the Lord, but what happened to Judas? And when he had given thanks, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, I like to think about that word thanks. When we come to the Lord's Supper, at the Lord's table, I hope there's not a Christian in this room this morning that didn't have some expression of thanks. I can think about giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done for me. Let us come into his presence, it says, with thanksgiving. And it's wonderful to sing the hymns that we sung this morning, but I believe it's just as wonderful when I hear a brother stand up and simply, as someone said this morning, Lord, what more can we say? What more can we do than just say thanks? And I have found in my own soul that if nothing else, Lord's Day morning, if I can just stand up and say, thanks, Lord, for going to the cross, I know he appreciates it, and I know it's a balm to my own soul. But brethren, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. We shouldn't come before the Lord's presence empty. At the very least, as a sinner that's been cleansed by his precious blood, I can tell him that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Whoso offers praise glorifies me. So for a time during the Lord's Supper, I can think about giving thanks. And he brake it. When he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken or offered for you. This do in remembrance of me. So there's a loaf on the table. And I can look at that loaf at the beginning of the meeting, and I can think of all the members of the body of Christ. Everybody on the face of this earth has been redeemed by his precious blood. That loaf is a tremendous thing when it sits on that table. Let's never forget all those other Christians that have been redeemed with us. God loves him just as much as he loves any of us. God is no respecter of persons, gathered saints or scattered saints. And that wonderful loaf on the table before it's broken reminds me of every believer. And it's a delight, too, isn't it, to think of every Christian we meet other saints, to salute them and greet them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something I like to think about, that loaf on the table. What a wonderful work the Lord Jesus has done to redeem such a multitude as the body of Christ, the assembly on earth. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. A brother stands up and he breaks the bread. I can think about the sufferings of Christ. Many scriptures were read this morning regarding the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Tremendous list of scriptures. Psalm 22, Psalm 88. In the four Gospels, we have different portions given to us in the four Gospels regarding the sufferings of Christ. What did he suffer at the hand of men? And then what did he suffer from God when he was forsaken for those 3 hours of darkness? When God put your sins and my sins on his blessed body and judged him in my place. The body which is broken, the bread which is broken. I can think on these things when I'm at the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me, the cup. What does the cup speak to us about? And I can turn to other scriptures that speak about the blood of Jesus. None of us would be here this morning if the blood of Jesus Christ had not cleansed us from our sins. Oh, I trust there's no one here this morning that's a pretender. It's just going along with the crowd, and the blood of Jesus is not precious to you. It is precious to God, and you cannot be saved unless you've come to trust and to believe that Christ died for your sins and his blood was poured out for you. Oh, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ. What a precious thing. All of it was poured out at the cross. All the blood of the Lord Jesus came out. And so all my sins are washed away. And that cup also reminds me, as we had this morning, it's a cup of joy. All my sins are gone. Not one of them is left. And I can be here this morning in the very presence of someone who is greater than Solomon or Jonas or any place in creation. I can be in his presence with thanksgiving and confidence. I'm fit to be here at the Lord's table because that blood has cleansed me. And I'm there with joy. It's a cup of joy and a cup of blessing which we bless. Aren't you thankful? Doesn't it make us happy to know your sins are all forgiven? These are things that I can think about when I'm at the Lord's table partaking of the Lord's Supper. We can look back at the cross and see that body that was broken, that blood which was shed for us. What else? In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I can think of the Lord's coming at the Lord's table. Yes. I was thinking this morning, I think somebody prayed that, this might be the last time. This morning might have been the last time we'll ever break bread or drink that cup, because the Lord may come today. He may come this week. And never again are we going to break bread or drink that cup. Instead, I'll see the wounds in his hands and his feet and in his side. For eternity, I'm going to have those reminders of how much he loved me. But till he come, we remember the Lord in his death. Are you doing that? Well, it's sad to say that we may have done it for the last time. And if there's some of you that are searching your soul about whether to remember the Lord, you may not have that chance again if the Lord comes this week. But think about it. The Lord wants you to do that till he come. And there's going to be a testimony to those breaking bread, remembering the Lord Jesus, in a right way, in a right place, according to right principles till we hear the shout. What a wonderful shout that's going to be. Two things I think will draw my soul out that moment. I'm going to hear that shout. I don't know what the Lord will say, but He will come and I'll hear that voice, and I expect He'll call each one of His sheep by name, for He calls His sheep by name. What the Lord's going to say, I don't know, but I know He's going to say something to every one of us. And then shortly after that, no doubt, I'll hear that trump. And when I hear that trump, that's when I'm changed. We're changed at the trump. And we rise up together with all the rest that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and meet the Lord in the air. But we break bread and we do these things till He come. I like to think about the Lord's coming at the Lord's Supper, and to think this might have been the last time we can break bread on earth. What else can we look at in verse 27? Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine or approve himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I believe there is a time, a short time, that each one of us can look at ourselves. And what do I see? Well, I see that in me there's no good thing. In me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I suppose if all of us honestly examined ourselves, we have to say like Job, I am vile, I am nothing, I abhor myself. But I believe, brethren, that should be a small part of the Lord's Supper. I don't believe we come together at the Lord's Supper, as some think, to flog ourselves or to dwell on how what a rough week it's been, or the difficulties we've had during the week, or to examine ourselves, approve ourselves, and confess anything to the Lord, and then turn our eyes right away on these other things we've been speaking about. But there is a time to look inward at yourself, and there's nothing good in you or me. Everything that's good is in Christ, and He's the center of our meeting together. So at the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, we can look inward at ourselves and judge ourselves. We can look backward at the cross to see that bread and that cup speaks to us about the blood of Jesus and His body, which was broken, and to the body, the whole body, the Church of Christ on earth. And two, we can look outward at that whole body, and two, we can look forward to the Lord's coming. So I believe at the Lord's table there are several different thoughts that can occupy us. These things have been a help to me to see that it's a time to be busy. It's a time to think on the Lord Jesus and all that He's done for us, and all that He will do, and to think about His coming also.